Today on Life Talk.
I believe the eye of discernment is largely lost to the church today. One reason is we don't know the Word of God like we should. And this weakness has made us vulnerable to all kinds of false teachers, false prophets, false stuff infiltrating the church nobody even recognizes. You don't even see it.
You're listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's exactly what we're going to hear from Pastor Jeff today. You may be stuck in traffic or even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
Hi, everybody. Well, I'm excited about today's message because we're going deeper in our study of the gifts of the Spirit. On today's broadcast, we're going to see that the nine gifts of the Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians 12 can be divided into three categories: revelation gifts, power gifts, and utterance gifts. These gifts of the Spirit are distributed by the Holy Spirit to believers in Jesus Christ solely for the edification of the church. And today we're going to explore the first category, the revelation gifts, which are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. This is going to be a powerful time in God's Word. So grab your Bible and let's jump right into part two of the message, the revelation gifts. Let's just begin by opening up to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, and then I'm going to go from verse 1 to verse 4 through 6. Now, Paul says, notice what he says. This is interesting. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. There is no premium on ignorance. Amen? So we know right there, if the Apostle Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts, we should not be ignorant about the spiritual gifts. We should really understand them. Amen? Then in verse 4, he tells us more about the gifts. There are diversities or different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, which means outlets, but the same Lord. And there are differences of activities, but it's the same God who does all of it, who works all in all. He distributed to each one individually as who willed? As he willed. He gave it to you as he willed. So the gifts we're about to read about, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit gave you one. Now, you can easily count 21. 21 gifts of the Spirit. We're looking at nine of them tonight. By the time we're done with this series, we're going to have covered the gift that's in you, whatever that happens to be. All right? Now, in the next few verses, Paul's going to list nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these nine gifts can be divided into three categories. Here's the three categories the gifts are divided into: revelation gifts, power gifts, utterance gifts. So tonight we're going to look at the revelation gifts. Are you ready to get some revelation? Now, I'm going to read about two of them because I want to deal with the two kind of together because they are very connected. He says in verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom. How does he get it? Through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. So here, Paul is making a distinction between sort of a brother and a sister. They're really together. A word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. And I'm going to show you the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is knowing how to use a gun. Wisdom is knowing when to use it. Okay? Knowledge understands the light has turned red. Wisdom says, you better stop. Knowledge sees the quicksand. Wisdom avoids it. Knowledge memorizes the Ten Commandments. I know all the commandments. I can tell you all the commandments. I learned them in Sunday school. All right? But wisdom obeys them. There's a lot of people who know that word. They don't walk in it. They know it, but they don't walk in it. What good does it do you to know it if you don't live it? Right? Knowledge learns about God. Wisdom loves him.
See, we need wisdom coupled with knowledge, or you can do more damage with knowledge than if you didn't have any knowledge. So having tons of knowledge is good, but having the wisdom to know how to use it is best. Now, that's the first understanding of the word of knowledge. When you impart Bible truth in love, in wisdom, to people who need knowledge. But a second understanding of the word of knowledge is when you receive on the spot revelation about a person or thing. When the word of knowledge manifests this way, it comes as a definite conviction, an impression in your heart, an impression on your soul, or a knowing in your heart and mind without having been told anything out here. You know something in here. It may come in the form of a mental picture, a dream, a vision, or by a Bible verse that is quickened to you. But a word of knowledge, this supernatural, on-the-spot word of knowledge, is when God shows you something about a person or a circumstance or a situation you could never have known on your own. That's a word of knowledge. And my experience is when God gives the word of knowledge and it's about a person, it's almost always to bring conviction of sin so they can get right. One time, and this is one of the few times it's happened to me this dramatically, but I'll never forget it. One time I stood up to preach. I was in a church in Dallas, and I stood up to preach, and I opened up my Bible, and I read my text. And as soon as I started reading the text, I instantly received an impression. As a matter of fact, with the impression came a lot of information all at once. It wasn't like I heard a voice talking to me. I got an impression, and with the impression came knowledge. And I knew that there was a young man in this congregation who had been called by God and had rebelled and walked away from him and was living in sin. And God told me, tell him to repent or I'm going to take his life. I said, I'm not saying that. No way I'm saying that. And so I started trying to read my text again. And it just came as clear to me, if you keep reading your text, you're sinning against me. I want you to say it. I said, I'm not going to do that. And I prayed in the spirit. I said, Lord Jesus, help me. The devil's messing with me. But it was not the devil. It was in here. And it came with peace. And I knew it was true. Now, I was looking out of the congregation trying to figure out who it might be. But there were a lot of people there I didn't know. So I said, okay, I'm either on target with this or I'm going to look like the biggest fool in the world. And why will I even preach after this if I show them I'm not hearing God? God said, say it. I said, okay, there's a young man in here. God won't let me preach until I say this. There's a young man in here, and you were called of God, and you trained for a season, and then you walked away. Now you're living in sin. God wants you to know you need to repent and come back, or he's going to take you home. Instantly, from the back row, I'm talking way back, this young man I'd never seen in my life jumped up, ran to the altar. Ran. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I'm looking down at him. I'll never forget. His name was Casey. Never forget. His name was Casey. Red hair, tall, sharp-looking young man. And he came down to the altar. He's lifting his hands. He's blubbering. He's crying. He's repenting before God. And everybody is shocked, some weeping. I'm teared up. I didn't know him. I never met him in my whole life. This was a major step of faith for me. And so when he finally was done, I said, Casey, what's your story? And he said to all of us, I went to Christ for the nations. And I studied to be a missionary. And I was called to missions. And I got caught up in sin. And I walked away. And I've been living in sin. And I heard about this meeting tonight and just decided to come and sit in the back. Well, see, Jesus knew who was in the back. And you know what? I know because he followed up with me. He repented, he got right, and he went to the mission field. Now listen, that's a word of knowledge. It's a word of knowledge. I had information I had no way of knowing this way. And it came as a distinct impression I could not shake or deny. And I knew it was true. I mean, I knew it was true. And it was true. And it saved a young man's life. See, Jesus did this all the time. He did it all the time. So the word of knowledge is a supernatural insight into something God is doing in circumstances or problems or in a person's life without the assistance of any human resource. It comes by revelation, word of knowledge. So everybody say with me, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Let me ask, how many of you have ever operated in the word of knowledge? You say, well, Pastor Jeff, that's just for the really spiritual people. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says he gave every Christian a gift, and we're to use it for the benefit of each other.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, lifetalkradio.us. You'll find today's program right there in the listen page, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's also a link to a complete station list that shows all of the stations Life Talk is on across the country, so you can let your friends and family know how they can listen to Life Talk as well. There's also a partner link for you to be able to support this program with your generous gifts. So check it out, lifetalkradio.us. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
Now let's talk about the third one. So there's the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the third revelation gift is discerning of spirits. He says in verse 10, to another discerning of spirits. So here's the Spirit of God giving to each person something different. Discerning of spirits is the supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit to perceive the source. That's important. The source of a spiritual manifestation and determine whether it is of God, of the devil, of man, or of the world. It is where you're listening to a message or you're watching something that is claiming to be a manifestation of the Spirit. And discerning of spirits is when you know the real source. In other words, if it's fake, phony, counterfeit, discerning of spirits lets you know that's counterfeit. That's false. That is not God. Because let's face it, folks, there's a lot of spirits out there from a lot of different sources, right? I think it's interesting that he uses the plural when he says discerning of spirits. It's plural. So it can be a man's or a woman's spirit talking to you. It can be the spirit of the world, which I sense all day, every day. And so do you out there in the workaday world. It can be a demonic spirit, which are everywhere. The devil is wreaking havoc on our nation right now, all right? Now, God's in charge, but we're under a whole lot of attack. And then there's the Spirit of God. How do you know what the difference is? How can you discern between the difference? Discerning of spirits. It's a gift. Now, let me tell you what it's not. It's not mind reading. It's not psychic phenomena. Don't ever pull over to the psychic, that little hut where it says psychic, fortune teller, and all of that, and go in there. Don't ever do it. Say, well, I'm not hearing God. Well, don't go in there. You're not going to hear God in there. You may hear a demon, but you're not going to hear God. If you got a Ouija board in your house, burn it. Get rid of it quickly. I personally believe, because I see in the book of Acts where when revival came to Samaria, they gathered all of their occultic materials and they burned them. Why? Because they carry a presence with them and they're a stumbling block. You think it's just some funny thing when that Ouija board moves, but listen, spirits can manifest. Can I say it tonight? The Bible says that in the last days, men will depart from the faith, giving heed to teachings of demons. So demons are personalities. They are bodiless personalities. They are fallen angels. They have an intellect. They knew Jesus. We know who you are, the Son of God. Have you come to torment us before the time? They talked right to Jesus. They knew who he was when everybody else was clueless. They knew who he was. So they can think. They can strategize. They are in a hierarchy. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And I kind of did it backwards. The spiritual wickedness in high places, that's heavenly places. That's talking about the second heaven. The Bible says there's three heavens. The third heaven is where the will of God is perfectly done. It is where heaven is. Third heaven. Second heaven is where warfare takes place. It's where the battle is waging and raging right now. We know this from Daniel. When Daniel was praying for a revelation, God sent an archangel. The archangel hit the second heaven and was resisted. And God had to send Michael to break that angel through to get to the first heaven, which is the earthly atmosphere where we live. So in the second heaven, there is spiritual wickedness in high places, heavenly places. And they think, like I said, they strategize. I don't mean to be weird or creepy, and especially this time of month and year. But listen, they know your name. Say, Jeff, come on. Oh, no. A demon spoke out and said, Paul I know, and Jesus I know. But I don't know you seven sons of Sceva. Who are you? And the man that had the demons attacked these seven sons of Sceva, stripped them naked and sent them out in the street screaming and terrified, which goes to show you never face the devil apart from Christ. But here's the deal. We need to discern spirits because you can have a spirit come. How's the devil come? Like an angel of light. Do you think he comes to you in the form or guise of something ugly and revolting and repulsive? No. He's going to be pretty. He's going to be handsome. He's going to be attractive. He's going to be appealing. He's going to ring the bells of your flesh. I mean, look, haven't you noticed that the way we get ensnared, for instance, with addictions, is it's not because we do something that feels terrible, but we just decide to go do it again. No, it feels good. It appeals to our flesh. We're drawn in. And then the trap closes. So you're dealing with personality. So discerning of spirits, you're not just discerning some Casper the Friendly Ghost floating around. But you're discerning, is this personality of God? Or is this personality coming at me to teach me? To influence me? To get me to follow it? Is it the Holy Spirit who is a personality? Goes without saying, God the Spirit, or is this an evil spirit? I mean, how bad do we need discerning of spirits, I ask you? Because in the last days, many people who walk with Jesus will be drawn away to teachings of devils. Discerning of spirits is not the ability to criticize and find fault. You know, these people, they're always picking you apart, and you say, would you stop it? Why are you doing this? Because I've got discerning of spirits. It's really bad if you're married to somebody and they're always picking you apart and then they tell you they got discerning of spirits. No, it's not. You're just being critical. See, when discerning of spirits is designed to save you from being wrecked by the devil. So, Paul, in the book of Acts, tells the story. Dr. Luke tells us of Paul and Silas traveling down a street in Philippi one day. You know the story. And it says a certain slave girl possessed with an evil spirit of divination, which is fortune-telling, met them. She was making her bosses rich from her ability to channel an evil spirit and tell them true things from an evil spirit. Do you hear me? She was channeling a demon spirit and telling them things about themselves that were true. And they were making money off this girl. Her bosses were. I mean, she had a business. She hung a shingle. It was out there. And Paul, it says, Well, first of all, she began to say things about Paul and Silas, and they were true things. These men are servants of the Most High God. That's true. They proclaimed to us the way of salvation. That was true. But something was wrong. The right thing was being said by a wrong spirit. And notice, she was lifting the men up, not Jesus. She never mentions Jesus, not one time, because the demon in her wouldn't let her. It wasn't about Jesus, it was about promoting and exalting men. And it says, Paul, being greatly annoyed, grieved in his spirit, wheeled around and said to her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And the girl was set free that very hour. And boy, did they get into trouble for casting that devil out. It ended up in the original, and then being thrown in prison in the original jailhouse rock. Just from casting a devil out. But you notice the devil had a personality speaking through this girl, saying true things with a wrong spirit. That's discernment, what Paul had. How many times do we hear things that are said that are true, but if you keep listening, there's a little bit of falsehood amongst the truth. And the more you listen, the more you go, like Paul, something's wrong. Have you ever experienced this? Something's wrong. I don't know why I'm bugged listening to this person, but I'm bugged. Something's wrong. I'm grieved. Something's wrong. You're getting discernment. Discernment is a crucial gift, and we're closing now. Without it, the church travels blind down the highway of life, oblivious to the dangers in its path. We need discernment. Now, my opinion, my personal opinion, you can take it or leave it, is that today's church is in a discernment crisis. Many, many things are presenting themselves as being from God or the Spirit that aren't found anywhere in the Bible. Teachings that twist Scripture and don't reflect genuine New Testament Christianity get a pass without so much as a blink from the body of Christ. There's books in Christian bookstores that should never be in Christian bookstores. They're New Age. It's mysticism. It's other than, it's extra biblical stuff. It's not scriptural stuff. It's interesting to me that one of the things wrong with the lukewarm Laodicean church is Jesus said, you're spiritually blind. That means they didn't have any discernment. You say, I am rich and have need of nothing, but you don't realize you're wretched, pitiful, poor, and blind. Well, they weren't walking around physically blind, but they were spiritually blind, meaning they had no discernment. Jesus said, I count you to buy of me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see, translated so you can have discernment. An interesting story, quickly, found in the Old Testament. Right after Saul was anointed king by Samuel, a certain tribe of Israel, Jabesh-Gilead, was attacked by Nahash the Ammonite. And he told the men of Jabesh when they asked for mercy, he said, I'll spare your lives if you'll let me put out the right eyes of your soldiers. I want to put out the right eyes. Isn't that terrible? Now, why the right eye? Because the right eye was the eye of battle. See, it was with the right eye they aimed and shot an arrow. He said, I want the right eyes of all your soldiers. If I can put out the right eye of all of your soldiers, then I won't kill you. In other words, he wanted to render them unable to fight. Now, I believe discernment is the right eye of the church. And what's the devil after? Say it with me. The right eye. Because if we don't have discernment, we can't fight. We're not going to see the devil when he's there looking at us. We don't know false doctrine when we hear it. I believe the eye of discernment is largely lost to the church today. One reason is we don't know the Word of God like we should. And this weakness has made us vulnerable to all kinds of false teachers, false prophets, false stuff, infiltrating the church. Nobody even recognizes. You don't even see it. It walks right up to you, you hear it, you watch it, and you don't even catch it. Because the right eye, if not blind, is dull. There's a cataract over the right eye. A second cause for our lack of discernment is we have placed a premium on personal experience over Bible truth. It used to be that every spiritual experience that happened to a Christian was judged by the Word of God. Was the experience found in the Bible's pages? Did the apostles teach it? Did the early church practice it? Increasingly, that practice of running everything through the sifter of God's Word has fallen by the wayside. We have allowed experience to define our truth rather than the Word of God defining our truth. We say, I experienced it, so it must be from God. But hey, there's all kinds of spirits out there that can give you all kinds of experiences. It's not necessarily from God at all. The Bible calls it discerning of spirits, plural. We need to discern, is that from man? Is that from the world? Is that from the devil? Or is that from God? The Bible says, let God be true, and every man or experience a liar. How many of you want to move in the gifts that God has given you?
You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. And if you enjoy the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners like you to allow us to be on this station. So please consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out to people everywhere. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to our website, lifetalkradio.us, and click on the Partner tab at the top of the homepage. Again, call 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Thank you for your loyal partnership. Finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi and let us know that you listen to the program. Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Life Talk.